He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed over $1 billion in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Fried, and this is Fried on Business.
All right, everybody, I'm cracking up. I'm having fun. I'm doing exactly what I want. I'm surrounded by my friends, my old friends, my new friends. And we're going to talk about one of the topics that really makes me go. We're going to talk about change. We're going to talk about how you change as a person and evolve in your career with my good friend. Can I say good friend, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Bobby Chopra, you're going to have to speak up, Bobby. You're too nice. Yeah. And then we have Neeson Cast, and Neeson's going to talk to us about changing our neighborhoods, changing the city of Miami. He's a man who manages that change for a lot of us, helps guide us. We're going to talk to Neeson also. And then I think at the end of the show, we're going to bring them together. We're going to talk about how a living, breathing city is pretty similar to a person and how he has to manage change because there's a lot of personalities involved with the city. The city has its own personality. So we're going to be right back with Fried on Business. We're going to start out with Bobby Chopra talking about how you can be better almost immediately. Back after this.
I'm ready.
When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and of course, 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain. Love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
Get your motor running.
Head out on the highway. Ugly.
Stupid.
Dweeb.
Useless. Weird.
Slow.
Things that should never be said.
Shut it down.
We are all beautiful.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
Be loud.
Be proud.
We have the power to put an end to bullying.
So go ahead. Be you. Be bold.
Be different.
Be brave.
Choose to stand up against bullies.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. I'm the founder of Sandstorm Realty Advisors. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why would you do that? Well, I help families all across South Florida execute their real estate plans. I recently helped one family in downtown Miami sell their land to one of the big national developers. I helped another client up in Fort Lauderdale. He needed to liquefy his portfolio. We did that for him in less than a month. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
If I leave here tomorrow.
Welcome back to Fried on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business and on Instagram at Jim Fried One. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we're back. We're back with one of my newest friends, hopefully one of my newest best friends, Bobby Chopra. He's an MBA, CPC, and a PCP, and an LMNOP, too, probably. He's an executive coach. He's a retired derivatives trader from New York City on Wall Street. He's starting his new life. He's going to help me start my new life, and we're going to talk about how he can help you start your new life. Right now, he helps professionals grow from good to great. He's Bobby Chopra. Bobby, welcome to the show for what I hope is just the first time.
Thank you, Jim.
So, Bobby, let's start with how you decided to make a change in your life and how that impacts the people you meet today.
Jim, as I mentioned to you, I'm writing a book called Reinvent Yourself. And I want to share some insights from that book, my own thoughts as to how in today's world where technology is disrupting a lot of industries and a lot of professions, how people can reinvent themselves.
Yeah, it's very important, and the world is moving really fast. So I think it's important to be able to take advantage of the changes that occur, but you can't do that if you're static.
Yes, true. So the very first step towards reinvention is recognition that one has become irrelevant or one's skills have become irrelevant. It is a very difficult thing to do. We see it happening. I saw it in my own career as a derivatives trader. I'll give you an example. So about 15 years ago, trading used to be done in all the commodity exchanges, you know, in the pits.
With the shirts and the colors.
Right. Everything went electronic. They didn't need human beings anymore. Machines took over. And we saw that coming, and I saw that my future career as a trader is going to be very short-lived. It was an industry phenomenon. Mm-hmm. We were totally disrupted by technology. But it took a while for the recognition to set in and to admit to oneself, hey, I need to start rethinking and restarting my life, reinventing myself to do something else that I really enjoy doing.
Was there a critical event that caused that to happen?
There usually is a pivotal moment. And, you know, it's personal for most people. Either they get laid off from a job, which is one catalyst.
That's a little bit too late by then.
Or it's too late, or something else happens. But a few proactive people can anticipate what's happening and start beginning the process of change and reinvention. So the first step, as I mentioned, is recognition that one's skills or profession is becoming irrelevant. Once we have that, the next big step is to get some clarity in our minds as to what do we want to do next.
You know, it's really important because I got to figure that when people are having their initial approach to life disrupted, it can be emotionally difficult, which would cause it to be hard to think clearly and analytically. Is there a way that people can cut through all of that and kind of at least have an organized way to think through and gather their thoughts so they might be able to understand what direction they should go in?
Absolutely. That's a great observation and a great question, because that is where most people struggle with. They feel helpless. They feel lost.
You lose a year.
They don't know, where do I begin? How do I reinvent myself? I mean, take the example, let's say, a 50-year-old who spent 25, 30 years in a particular industry suddenly loses their jobs because the skills have become obsolete.
Happens in the mortgage industry, every industry, legal industry.
They typically, initially, what they try to do is they find a similar job with another company. They try, but they fail. They haven't yet recognized that the skills are relevant. They truly need to reinvent themselves. Once that recognition is firm, hey, I got to do something different, is to find clarity. And I'll share with you one story, personal story, as to how I reinvented myself to find that clarity. 5 years ago, when I was at a crossroads, and I said, I don't want to trade anymore. It's done. I need to do something different, something that I enjoy intellectually. That's something that would give me gratification as well as, you know, a path forward. What do I do? So I wanted to take a vacation, wanted to take a break to clear my head. Not any particular vacation, not a typical vacation. I could have gone to the beach, I could have gone to Europe, gone somewhere else. I said, no, I'm going to do something different. In my past life, I used to race cars, Porsches, as a hobby.
Oh, I have a friend that you need to meet. Did you hear this? But Porsche, I got a friend, Charles Ficini.
So I have two beautiful Porsches, one of the race car. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go on a cross-country road trip. I want to see this country by road. And I, on impulse, I got into my race car, and I had no destination, no planned itinerary, no time schedule, no constraints whatsoever. It was wherever, whatever, whenever, however.
What a tremendous bucket list thing.
All right. So I got in my race car, and some of my friends said to me, "Are you crazy? This car is not even comfortable. You're going to break your back." I said, "No, I'm going to do this." I drove 9,000 miles in 15 days, 25 states. I drove all the way from Miami to Montana, through the Midwest, and from Montana out to the West Coast, down the Pacific Coast, through Napa, and, you know, saw all the national parks, through Arizona, beautiful. Utah, and Colorado, and all the beautiful places. And what this trip did for me was, when you're driving 8 hours a day, almost 600 miles a day in a race car, I disconnected myself from the world. No emails, no phone calls, no text messages. And it was a solo trip, a spiritual journey of sorts. After the third or fourth day, I really started to decompress. And when you're in the mountain states, you see the beautiful mountains. So every hour the landscape's changing. Now it's mountains, now it's forests, now it's lakes, now it's the ocean. That it enables you to filter the noise out of your brain. So those 15 days, it filtered all the noise out of my head. And what remained was what was truly important to me. Hey, what do I want to do as a 64-year-old? What do I want to do with the rest of my life?
A long, young-looking 64-year-old. You don't look 64 to me.
Well, I'm 68 now.
Oh, my God. BS.
All right. Thank you. But that was the simplest discovery. And what I came to was, look, I've always enjoyed interacting with smart people. I've always enjoyed the intellectual intercourse with people. I've mentored hundreds of people in my career on Wall Street. I considered teaching, but I said, yeah, teaching is too structured for me, you know. So I said, you know, this is what I think I'll be very good at. I want to become a coach. I want to work with some very smart senior executives in business and help them grow from good to great. That's how I launched my coaching practice. So that was a moment of clarity for me as to what I wanted to do next. The third step in the process of reinvention is figuring out what tools or what resources do you need to do. Once you've figured out this is what I want to do, how do I go about doing it? I mean, starting a business is not easy. All right. So I went to UM. I spent a year and got certification. I got certified as a coach. I made that investment at the age of 64. So, okay, I'm going to learn some new skills. I got that certification. And then, as you know, they say, the harder you work, the luckier you get. I ran into an old friend who was the CEO of a very large company, an S&P 500 company. And he said, look, I've known you for 25 years. You're a smart guy. If this is what you're doing, why don't you come and work with my executive team here in Chicago and help us?
Hopefully in the summer.
So I spent 3 years coaching 150 executives at this company. But that's how that came about. But how do we find the resources? I figured I need to get certified. I need to learn new skills as a coach. I did that. Okay. Then you network and you find your first client or your second client. Okay. That's how you go about building your business. It's called execution of a plan. So first is recognize that you need to change. Second is get clarity as to what do you want to change to. Third is figure out what resources or tools do you need to help you get there. And the fourth is execute on the plan.
My God, that's like, you know, that's exactly what our city needs. Here comes Neeson. Neeson's queuing in here.
I'm not being paid to ask questions, but I will anyway. What if you don't have... there are limitations on your ability to adapt. I mean, how does that factor in?
You know, Neeson, we all have limitations. The trick is figuring out, are those limitations real limitations or are they perceived limitations in our minds? And I will say this to you, if we look deeply within ourselves, many of our so-called limitations are self-limiting beliefs. Many, not all, some are real, okay? But if the real limitations that we may have, let's find a way to work around them. Just like in any business or any profession, daily you have challenges, daily challenges, you have obstacles, you know, you need to problem solve and you need to work around them.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break because we're evolving. This is tremendous. I don't want to stop it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back right after this, and we're going to go more into change and how cities change, just like people need to change. They need to identify it. They need to decide how they're going to do it. Then they got to execute their plan. Am I getting it?
Absolutely.
High five. Back after this.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know. I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing a door. You leave the world behind. You're digging for gold. You're throwing away.
Hey, everybody. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in the Keys, they've got them all. What do they have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary service loaner, dynamic wheel protection, key replacement, guaranteed purchase offer, best value guarantee, and, of course, the 72-hour exchange. You can take a full 3 days to be certain you love your Warren Henry vehicle. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful. You're smart. You are awesome. And you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting. Be strong. Be brave. Be awesome. Be daring. Be kind. Choose kindness.
Hi, this is Jim Fried. That's right. If you need financing, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Need to sell your urban land? I can help with that too. I have friends and clients all across the country that are just waiting to help you capitalize your real estate transaction. Want to finance your high-rise residential project? Just raised $15 million from an institutional pension fund to do that. That's right. It's different every time because your project isn't the same as everybody else's. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Another one bites the dust.
Welcome back to Fried on Business. Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at Jim Fried or at Fried on Business, and on Instagram at Jim Fried One. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
Oh, this is tremendous. It's going just as I planned, but not in the way that I anticipated. How about that? Neeson joined in. We're talking with Bobby Chopra. He's helping professionals grow from good to great. He's a professional coach from Wall Street to Miami. Boy, you guys need him. And then we've got Neeson Kasdan. He's the one who helps cities evolve. We're going to talk with Neeson about gentrification. Bobby's going to jump in, and this is going to be tremendous. If you were listening before, great. If you weren't, you're going to want to hear what we said before on Facebook Live. Back with now with Bobby and Neeson. So, Neeson, let's go to you. Bobby was talking about how change requires that you got to recognize that you need to change. Then you got, it sometimes happens with a moment of clarity. Then you got to decide what you want to be. Then you got to make a plan. Then you got to execute it. Sounds like basically every city in the world.
Yes, except I would say that, you know, evolution is inherent in every living thing, but it's also inherent in cities. Whether you do something or whether you don't do anything, a city is going to change. What government can do and what investors can do is help shape and guide that change in a good way or a bad way. But the change is going to happen. And I know we were talking before about gentrification. which has, and I'll give you in my background, I spent now 40 years working on evolving and changing urban neighborhoods from South Beach, when I chaired the Community Development Corporation in the 80s, through everything, most of which I'm doing now on this side of the bay. It's fascinating work to be involved in the evolution and change of a city and help play a role in that, but it's inevitable. And so, one of my big themes now is, gentrification has gotten a bad name, and actually that's wrong. It's dumb. Because if a city doesn't evolve, then it's going to go backwards and die. You want examples of cities in this country that haven't changed, go to the Rust Belt. Cities like Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, where there's, 20% unemployment among youth, where there's, the industries that were there left to go abroad decades ago. And the same is playing out here, and this has played out here in the city of Miami. What happened in cities like that never changed and evolved and improved themselves is all the social ills, opioid addiction, crime, and all the attendant social ills take over. So what you want to do is continue to evolve a neighborhood. I'll give you sort of a great example. You look at near where we are sitting right now today, the Florida East Coast Railroad Corridor. In 2002, the Metropolitan Center of Florida and International University did a study of the entire corridor. That corridor had lost over 15,000 jobs. They were mostly manufacturing jobs. You remember, like the clothing industry and other
seamstresses
industries.
And auto assembly, auto whatever it is.
Those jobs left. And the people who were the immigrant groups, the Haitian Americans and the people from the Caribbean islands and Latin America who were working in those businesses, when the jobs left, they also began, as they worked and they saved, they also began to move out into the suburbs as well. So this whole corridor by 20 years ago was largely abandoned, vacant and abandoned warehouses, no jobs. The people who were immigrants who made money had moved out to a large extent, and you were left with, to a large extent, people who were had nothing, had no
means.
They
couldn't even afford to move out.
And so what happened, starting with something like Midtown Miami, it was an abandoned rail yard. People may not realize it, but when that project was developed in the early 2000s, none of the retail that is there existed anywhere in the city of Miami. So not only were there no jobs in the city of Miami, but the amenities of life didn't exist in the city because of how the neighborhood had decayed. That was redeveloped, brought in major retail, new residential, thousands of jobs, most of which went to people who lived in the immediate area or the city of Miami. And that repeats itself. Wynwood was an abandoned industrial area. The design district was desolate, as you know, and on up the corridor.
So who decides what's good and what's bad, and how does that decision get made during change? And Bobby, we can even talk to you about this. How does a person decide what to do? Well, let's talk about the city, and then I want your opinion on it, too.
Well, I have to think you need to look at it in a way from a political perspective. Well, there are two things I would say. First, the greatest positive change is always led by the private sector and private investment. Midtown Miami, Craig Robbins in the design district, the pioneers in Wynwood, who were many of the same pioneers in South Beach, who came with a vision, were willing to take risks, and were willing to invest money. Those are always the catalyst for change. Now, what government can do is help them by supporting them, doing streets and sidewalks and safety and the things that make the neighborhoods better. But what also happens is the role of government in the long term, as I like to call it, they have to call balls and strikes. Because while the original investors may have had vision and want to create something of long-term value, there are people who come in who just want to make a quick buck. And
this is after all Miami, Neeson.
And not only Miami, it's other places too. And when people are there just to make a quick buck and just to sort of exploit the popularity of an area and its the emergence of an area, that can actually lead to the cycle reversing itself. And neighborhoods becoming unpopular, uncrowded, or overcrowded, bad conditions. So government at its best, I say, what I'd like to say, would call balls and strikes. These are great projects. We're 100% like the design district, take it from them. We're 180% behind you. Go for it. We're going to help you. And there are others, I'm not going to mention them by name, that maybe are just, you know, you've got speculators who just want to, you know, do a land grab and not invest in the property, flip it, and that's not a good scene.
It's not good for the fabric of our community. Bobby, how does somebody decide what's good or bad for their future as they're going through things? What's some rules of thumb?
You know, we ask ourselves, as I said, ask ourselves, what is truly important to us? What elements do we want in our lives, you know, professionally or personally? What is truly important? Once we filter down that list, it becomes quite apparent as to what we would enjoy doing occupationally, what we would enjoy doing at a personal level. And it just sort of, it's like water finds its own level. For each different person, it's going to be different. The answers are going to be different. But those are the important questions we need to ask. What is truly important to us? And the answers just follow.
Wow. You know, Neeson, that applies to every municipal government, all the people that are NIMBYs, all the people that have a vision, the planning department, everybody fighting, and they all have to have some kind of vision of what we look like.
If I may butt in too.
Please. This is a
conversation. I've been in Miami 9 years. I love this. I live on the beach. I love Miami. I love the beach. It's a young, vibrant city. And people have often asked me, what would it take to make Miami truly great? And I said, we need to bring intellectual capital to
this. Here's your chance. We've been working on that.
And intellectual capital is, to me, if you look at cities like Nashville, Austin, Houston, and see what do they have in common? They've got intellectual capital. They got great universities, they got great schools, and they are attracting tech jobs.
Great medical?
Great medical, great tech jobs. So if somehow the powers that be in Miami can really amp it up and bring the Googles and the Amazons and the Facebooks of the world or some great tech incubators, the real big, meaningful critical mass to Miami, that would be the single most positive thing that had ever happened to this city.
Well, we're working on that. Hold on, hold that thought, because we're going to take a quick break. Thank you for finishing right on time. Didn't even have to give you the mark. And we'll be back. This is tremendous. I don't have to say a word, and it's my show. Regan, take it over.